I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hola, and welcome to Balls Deep, or Huevos Depot, as we say in Mexico. This is a very special edition, our first ever Thursday version of the podcast, where we're actually going live. So all the premium members, if they put their email in correctly on the website, which who wouldn't, got a little email update like, hey, you invited just you and a few select special friends to come watch the Balls Deep podcast live on Spreecast. So congratulate yourself, pat yourself on the back. This is one of the new features that we added, man, for everybody, and I'm glad that people can come in and partake and enjoy and have questions in the chat and all that good stuff. Another thing that we added today was RSS feeds, so people can go to the blackouttest.com/premium. If you're a premium member, you scroll to the bottom, you get to see like, you see like some extra purple text that no one else can see but you and me. And, it's links to the RSS feeds with passwords and everything. So, you should be able to put it on your mobile devices, your podcast catchers. You just have to log in and use the password. We'll probably change that every month so we can keep people from just giving it away and trying to steal it. Hopefully nobody does that. Yeah, this is the stuff that we do for you guys, man. We appreciate you guys so much. Hopefully this makes things even more convenient and easier for you. Now, let me talk about the people I got with me. Now, as always, I can't do the show without my number one sleazo, the other real house husband of Charlotte. It's the homie J Trio. What's up, dog?
Skiwi.
Skiwi. What's up, bro?
Nothing, man. I'm just glad to have you in here, man. So we can, you know, shoot the shit about some sports, man. Go balls deep real quick.
Man, it was hot as hell on the ride over here.
Right. Oh, man. Then the power went out at the light.
Oh, yeah, man. They had these fake flashlight cops up there trying to direct traffic. It was the worst.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you made it, man. This is our first ever live one, and this is the only one that Justin has been late to. So it was a real, like, I started worrying, like, oh, shit, am I fucking up? But he got here, man, a couple minutes late, but on time to go balls deep.
I tell you, I feel like I should just scream or something, like in pain every time you talk about going balls deep.
We also have, because we, you know, last week we went balls deep by ourselves. And that's cool. One-on-one balls deep, you know, is very fun.
It's personal. More
yeah,
personal.
Very, you know, it's an intimate setting to go balls deep, but we actually said, look, we got to open the floor back up and get us a guest on, man. So we went and got the homie Lance Gilliam. For people that mess with the Evening Jones, you should know Lance. You should be familiar with him. He's the guy that every once in a while takes over hosting when Bo's connection drops. Or if you guys want to keep up on Clippers stuff, he does that too. You can also check him out. He has the Recon, which is on Spreecast only right now, so it's exclusive, but you can check him out there, man, because he's, you know, trying to do big things. And you co-host that with Brent, right?
Yeah, I co-host the Recon with Brent, and it is exclusive to Spreecast at this moment. We're waiting for more people to get involved. We started out as a wrestling podcast, which was probably a mistake because Bomani keeps saying, if y'all want to talk wrestling, and it's just like, okay, Bo, you're putting me in a box. You're putting me in a box. So as soon as I get out the box, I can talk a little more than wrestling, and so can Brent. And yeah, we're gonna do the page design, and we're gonna have everything rolling right as soon as we get the following. So we out here just trying to make it happen.
All right, man. Well, on Twitter it's at @therecon_NAO. And for the record, man, from one person to another, don't wait on the following, just do the shit. Just do the shit, and then people will start following. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go out there, you create the pages, you get on social media, you get on your networking grind, and people will start coming along if you gotta drag them along. But that's how I would do it, man. You push and then let people be led.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, man. So let's talk some sports, man. There's a lot of shit that happened this week. I expected this to be a slow week, but then I started looking up articles for the show, and I was like, damn, this shit happened? When this shit happened? Damn, this too? So let's go ahead and talk about what everybody wants to know. What's going on with the baseball? No, I'm just kidding. The Heat-Spurs game, Game 3, one of the most shocking ass-whoopings of all time, I believe. The Spurs came out and totally redeemed themselves by beating the shit out of the Heat by like 36 points.
Yeah, man. I feel like they was playing poker and the Spurs was like, oh, you putting $100,000 down? I see your $100,000 and raise you $50,000.
Yeah, it was very surprising, especially considering the previous game. They pretty much got blown out. Cause I said, you know, on Friday was the Heat needed to come out and win the next game by even more than 10. Like they need to have a statement game that, hey, that was a fluke. And the Spurs must have heard the show too, because they was like, we need to have a statement game that's even more than 20 and whoop their ass, man. So let's go ahead and talk about this game and what all we think it means. I'll say one thing first, which is LeBron James not playing good and everybody need to calm down. Everybody know I love LeBron. Mm-hmm. But we not about to pretend like this is him being good. Like, I went on Facebook the day before when they lost game two, and I was like, you know, I mean, when they won game two, I was like, yo, LeBron still hasn't had the LeBron game, and they're still, it's 1-1 in this series, and I'd be nervous if I was the Spurs, because if he does get on track, it's gonna be a problem, because he's actually not playing that well. My brother and a couple other people were like, but he had 18 rebounds in the first game. And, you know, he had a great block in the second game and he scored like 6 points in a row in the fourth. And I'm like, when do we start lowering the bar for LeBron? You know, I'm talking about LeBron James, not Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, not, Rod, not Justin. Like, LeBron standards, these aren't good games. He came out in the third game and had 15 points, but it was 7 of 21 shooting. Yeah, like 11 rebounds, 5 assists. But it's still not a LeBron game. And I don't think I'm wrong for saying he can play better and expecting him to. Justin, what you think about that?
I definitely think LeBron can play better. He's shown us he can play better. The thing is, it's the playoffs, so coaches have a tendency to actually look at everything you do great and try to defend it, and that's all they sit and practice. And if you know you don't have the game plan for D-Wade, Bosh, Allen, or any of those other guys on the team and just focus in on LeBron, it makes the game extremely difficult. And it's not him playing against Dallas, a team who has a terrible coach, or even the Lakers with their terrible coaching. It's a team that has one of the best coaches in the game. So they're able to game plan differently. I mean, think about it. We're still talking about Popovich, who sent his starters home. Mm-hmm. And almost beat the Heat in Miami earlier on in the regular season. So, you know, Popovich probably wasn't even thinking about it. He probably was thinking about the playoffs then. Mm. You know, game planning. Like, I need my guys to get some practice playing against them now, because they're going to see major minutes in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and they're big. And their home, their role players stepped up in game three, which you're supposed to do at home.
And at home.
Right. So, but there's two more home games. So, you know, this could not be, this might not be an anomaly. We might see a couple more 3-point exhibitions from the light-skinned crew out there, man. Now, Lance, what did you think about the way LeBron's been playing?
I would like to just go back to that Popovich coach situation, because, yes, he sat his players, but the best thing about Pop is that he does things in great fashion. He sat Tim Duncan, and on the player report, it basically said, because he's old. I'm sitting here because he's old.
Age.
Yes. Old age is why I'm sitting this guy. which is the greatest thing ever.
People protested against ageism.
But I mean, it actually like falls into the Popovich plan. Like, I sat him because he's old, because I'm going to play him now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and everybody had such a problem with that. Like, oh, not only is that just like disrespectful that you're sitting your star player on one of these games where people pay money to see these star players, but you're actually going to put him out there and saying, I'm doing it for the fact that he's geriatric.
And during this game, he actually had to play Duncan that many minutes. Like, it got to be such a blowout. Mm-hmm. I think Duncan may have ended the game with something like either 14 points, 11 rebounds, or 11 points, 14 rebounds. But it was just like all right, man, well, I did enough. I'm going to just go chill over here, guys. Y'all got this.
He was over there icing his knees.
And he'll be ready. He'll be ready for game four and game five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Pop is one of the best coaches that I've ever seen in my lifetime. I was born in 1982, folks. He's one of the best coaches that I've seen in my lifetime. Like, he's number two in my lifetime. I mean, of course, you got Red and you got all these other people that were before my time. But until now, it was just Phil Jackson and that triangle that in my head, because I was part of that Jordan phase. So, like, this is a whole different scheme, a whole different game plan. And it's like, it's taken me by like, oh, wow, this dude really knows what he's doing. And not only is he knowing what he's doing, he's out here wagging his tongue at you, especially with that interview at the half. Oh, so what are you doing? I can't talk about that with you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm loving the cockiness.
The other thing too is, what's funny is I don't think the game plan against LeBron is even that, like, it's not some revolutionary shit. They're just making him shoot jumpers. And for some reason, he doesn't want to shoot the same jumpers that he's been knocking down at a 60% clip for the entire season. Like, it looks completely mental. Like, he's just having flashbacks from when he went to the finals and got swept by the Spurs. Like, don't shoot this, LeBron. I better not shoot. Like, he's in his head.
Yeah. And that's exactly what Pop is doing. Pop ain't doing nothing different than anybody else does on LeBron. In fact, this is that it's just working. So why not use this fact that it's working and turn it into a troll position to where you're like, yeah, I'm doing something different.
Right.
I think they are doing something different too, though. If you watch a lot of the other teams and the other series, they continuously try to get physical with LeBron.
That's true.
And the Spurs aren't doing that. They're just kind of saying, hey, I'm going to be in your face, but I'm not necessarily going to hit you every time. They're not doing anything to provoke Vaughn, to give him motivation to do anything different.
That's a good point.
The other series, you see people trash talking LeBron, trying to get him cheap shots.
Getting his head. Yep, yeah.
Things like that. And all that does is motivate, because we talked about that before, how LeBron is mentally strong. And all that does is motivate him to play better. Just like when Nazi Muhammad pushed him down, he was like, you know, that's not a basketball play, right?
Right.
Like, you know, you're just going to get in trouble for this. And
you're going to get kicked out of the game, Nazi. What are you doing?
Yeah. And I'm angry now, and I'm just going to internalize this by dunking on somebody or hitting this three from half court just because I feel like.
Yo, that's an excellent observation, man, because up until this point, you're right. The strategy that a lot of teams have tried is just beating up LeBron James, which you can't do. Like, he is stronger than you. He's gonna, when he drove to the hole and Roy Hibbert would meet him at the basket, Roy Hibbert would end up on the ground almost every time. So the Spurs just took a different approach, which is, we're not gonna touch you at all. Shoot that jumper and let's see what's happening. And, it's clearly in his head, cause I saw him passing up open shots. And I don't care how, unselfish LeBron is, he wasn't passing up those open shots earlier in the season. Like, They're not selfish shots. They're just open shots. So he shouldn't even feel bad about, you know, like, oh, I need to kick it out. Like, no, you got to keep shooting, man.
Well, the other thing too with LeBron is he kind of shut down ever since Dwayne Wade complained about getting shots.
That's true too.
In the Pacers series.
Which is why we got to trade. You got to trade Dwayne Wade. Like, I'm telling you, you got
to
go.
Like, instead of just coming to LeBron man to man, they hang out and have dinner. Like, man, go ahead and get me the ball some, Bron. You know what I'm saying? He went out and made it public to the media. Like, you know what? Bosh and I, we got to get our shots. I think if we get our shots, we'll be, you know, the games will be different. And you was like, no, nigga, like, LeBron had to go back to Cleveland to save that series. And now you complaining about shots?
Right.
You complaining about shots? Like, no.
Here's the thing that, I haven't heard anybody say about LeBron's game in game three. And it's something I harped on in game one. And I haven't really seen a difference. Where the fuck are his free throws?
Hey.
He didn't shoot one free throw last game. And more importantly, he didn't pick up one foul.
Because he's in the perimeter, like, cause they're keeping him to the perimeter and he's not striking to the basket. He's not going to get free throws. And that's just LeBron when you put him in that situation. And basically what Pop is doing is like, he's making them say, okay, LeBron's not going to beat me because we're not going to foul him. We're not going to play him rough, but we're going to keep him on the perimeter and you're going to have to pass to somebody else.
Yeah.
It's almost like they running the zone on LeBron. Yeah. Well, to where even if he does get past somebody, like, he can't take that lane because there's a body already there.
But see, that's the difference between the way I think about basketball and I think the way everybody else does. You're LeBron James. You take the lane. Like, it doesn't matter if they're there or not. Like, you had zero fouls. Pick up five charges if you want. I don't care. But there, you need to make people make a decision at the rim, because I am of the fundamental belief that taking a charge from LeBron James feels like a good idea exactly one time.
Yeah. But that's the thing. He's been getting the lane and dishes to an open man.
I know. He gotta draw the foul. It can't be like, I know what the right basketball play is, but you gotta KYP, man. We talk about this all the time at the court. You gotta know your personnel. And it ain't a better shot for Mario Chalmers to go to the basket off a pass from LeBron than LeBron actually going to the hole and either getting fouled or making a bucket. Like, he got to do that shit.
Then that goes back to, I was doing it till Wade started bitching.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just not making excuses for him. That's my man.
And he went to the hole.
He my man. But it's like when we ball, right? We be on the sideline. If we take an L, Justin, man, you got to shoot that. Yep. Yeah, you're right. I got to shoot that. Like, it's simple. It's not even like some like, oh, I want to blame you for this. Like a lot of people on ESPN trying to turn it into blame game. Mm-hmm. It's not even that. When you lose by 36, it's more than one person. But you got to say to what am I doing wrong as the leader and the most valuable player on this team? And it's, hey, get to the hole, be aggressive, don't settle for what they're giving you, and have some fucking confidence. What are you saying, Lance?
Well, there's no blame game to be given at this point. Like, there's no reason to even play the blame game, because if you look at the situation, it's like, okay, it would have been a close game if they weren't getting rained on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to happen this next game. It might happen sometime within the series if they go 6 or 7, but it's just not something that's going to happen all the time. And even if they didn't get rained on, they still would have been losing. Right. You just got to do it. Like, there's no blame to be pushed. It's like, hey, dude, just go to the basket every once in a while. You ain't got to do it all the time. Don't turn into the hot dog of the situation. But if you got a good look, body him up, get in there, get a foul, get a free throw. It was just none of that going on, which just made it a 30-point loss. That's what made it the 30-point loss.
Now that that's been said, let me just have to give some props, man. The river water from the Riverwalk is fueling the light skin powers on this team, dude.
Hey, man.
This dude, Danny Green and Gary Neal had one of the all-time most ridiculous shooting performances. Like, it went from me being kind of mad that my prediction of the Heat weren't gonna win this game to me rooting for them to hit more crazy, like, hit another one. Fuck it. Like, just, let's see what else y'all can do. And 7 for 9 for Danny Green, 6 for 10 for Gary Neal. And it felt like it was higher than that.
Yeah, it was 50 some odd points.
It's time for light skin to shine in the NBA, man. We've been oppressed in the NBA for a numerous amount of years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about a long time. So, you know, with Golden State out there, the light skin brothers out there doing their thing, you know, it's time for us to just go ahead. The only problem with the Spurs is they all international players except Green.
Yeah, yeah. And I root for America.
We need more American born. So that's one of the reasons, you know, go Heat, go America, go LeBron, go America.
That's true. I just thought that was crazy. Also, the Heat wasted one of the best shooting performances from Mike Miller. That shit was wet. 5 for 5 from threes, man.
And he might be hurt.
Yeah, of course. He lives for them finals, man.
And he never wanted to play anyway.
He was like, just put me in for the finals. That's my belief. And, cause remember Pat Riley promised, man. Everybody was talking shit about Mike Miller, but Pat Riley was like, I will pay his salary again just for another performance like that in the finals. And he was like, word? You serious about this? Cause I'm not playing until we get to the finals. He's like, that's cool. All right. Let's talk about tonight. This is game 4. Mm. We're in San Antonio. San Antonio has to win 3. I feel like the scheduling in the finals is terrible. The 2-3-2 format, I think, is a disadvantage to the challenging team. I actually think it's tougher to win all 3 of those games at home without dropping one. than it is for when it's 2-2, 1-1-1. So what do you guys think is going to happen tonight between the Spurs and the Heat? I'm going with the Heat come back and get a close W. What are you going with, Justin?
Oh, obviously, this is has no basketball logic, just my heart. I want the Heat to win. That's, I'm going for them to win. Basketball logic, though, they haven't lost two games in a row. I think LeBron is a sensitive dude at the same time. He may not seem like it, but he is sensitive. And I think his feelings got hurt by that blowout. And I think he will turn into the Terminator this game and just be like, fuck Wade, fuck Bosh. I'll do it all by myself. Score all the points, all the rebounds. I'll check your man and my man at the same time.
I did see some crazy ass stat, like the Heat are 19-3 when losing a game in the playoffs or some shit. And I like, it was something crazy. Like that next game, they're ridiculous. So I think this will be like a more decisive game. Like the Spurs win this, it's over because the Heat probably going to give their A game. I'm sorry. If you're also a LeBron fan like I am, it's okay to be like, he not playing good and he can take over this game, because when he does have a good game, I want to party, and we can't party if y'all talking about all the games are good. I mean, what does really bad mean to you? I mean, but like, nah, we not about to have that philosophical discussion. He's not playing LeBron James status until he starts playing like it. Lance, what do you think's going to happen tonight?
I'm going to go with the, I'm not going to give the basketball logic. I'm just going to go off of what I feel. And I feel like LeBron's going to try way too hard. I feel like it's a different team than the teams that he's used to playing. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to work out well. And I got San Antonio with another semi blowout tonight.
Okay. It could happen, man. I mean, when you win by 36.
I'm like San Antonio by like 12 is okay. What I'm thinking right now.
But now, is that a flip flop or you were going with the Spurs from the beginning?
I'm a Clipper fan, so I don't take sides on anything else but the Clippers.
Okay.
Just to be clear, it's not a flip flop because I don't care who wins at this point. Like, who cares?
I heard y'all might be getting Lionel Hollins, which I would love to go to the Lakers.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
I do have that. I do have that on the itinerary. Justin, skip it forward. We can't talk about. I almost talked about this on the Blackout Test, but I thought it was more of a sports story. Did you guys hear about the outrage over Sebastian De La Cruz, the little boy who sang the national anthem before the game? I don't know if you guys saw a picture of him. I put it in the chat for all the people listening live.
I didn't read it in detail, but I just heard about it. That, you know, they've been unfair to him.
Yeah, he was dressed like one of the three amigos. So
I love Three Amigos.
I mean, he seems to be Hispanic.
Yeah, and he was dressed like he's a Latino looking kid. He's of Latino descent, and he is dressed like he really was supposed to be with Steve Martin in the Three Amigos. And of course, Twitter could not handle this. So Deadspin kind of kept a link of the tweets about this. OG King Chuck says, got this little spick singing the national anthem. Whoa. All right, Spurs got a beaner singing the national anthem. Disrespectful. Right. That's disrespectful. There should be an American singing the national anthem, not this illegal. They got this little ass illegal Mexican boy singing the national anthem. How ironic. Beaner singing the national anthem. I blame Carlos Garcia for that shit. Oh, man, see if Carlos
Garcia. I blame Obama.
This is hurtful.
This is Obama's America.
Yeah, only Carlos Mencia made that Beaner shit cool because nobody was saying that before him.
I'm from LA, so yeah, I hear it all the time, but.
Yeah, but these niggas in like, these motherfuckers are like, ain't from no fucking LA. These other people is like from Wichita and shit. They don't know nothing about no fucking Beaner stuff. They watched Carlos Mencia's show. 2 times, and they was like, oh, well, anyone can say it.
They went to Wikipedia. They were like, what is some good slang to insult the Latino community? Ooh, beaner. I think I'll go with that. I haven't used a good B word in a minute.
Yeah, but anyway, I just thought that was ridiculous, man. Like, I could understand picking on that little girl that had the Benjamin Button disease in the first time they were singing in Miami, but.
Yeah, and it's more fun to pick on women.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I mean, but honestly, if you think about it, let's go ahead and let's really dig into what's going on here. So basically, he dressed like the three white people that did a movie.
Right.
Because it was Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Chevy Chase. Great movie, by the way. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's okay for them to depict them, but it's not okay for him to sing the national anthem. Like, where are we at here?
Yeah, yeah. Also, like, I hope people know that that doesn't mean that kid's not American. Like, that's what was funny to me. It's like, motherfucking Mexican, illegal. I'm like, that kid could be from fucking, like, Baltimore. You don't know that kid. Like, you know, it's like how people always go, you know, Jeremy Lin is good for the Asians to finally get up. It's like, Jeremy Lin is from San Fran, dog. Yeah. I mean, you know, hot props to his heritage. I'm not denying him that, but Jeremy Lin ain't exactly like come off the boat and learn to speak English. He can talk just as well as you and I, if not better. He's, you know, he's probably smarter than you. And he can ball his ass off more than you, unless you like one of the top 15 point guards in the NBA. So shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, let's talk about this other story, that I thought was pretty huge. Kevin Durant decided to join Jay-Z's sports agency.
Yep.
Jay-Z's picking up a few people here, man.
Man, Jay having business meetings at the 40-40 club, putting a little something in their drink. They ain't even know it. And he had the contract signed right then on the spot.
Yeah, Roc Nation's getting like Skylar Diggins, Geno Smith, Robinson Cano, or is it Cano?
Cano.
Robinson Cano. They're talking about Victor Cruz and Deshaun Jackson might be interested. That's, you know, he's making a splash in the agency game, and I think Kevin Durant is probably one of the biggest gets you can get in the NBA as far as star power. I wonder how much the idea of these kids growing up, worshiping Jay-Z, being fans of the guy, are really going to, is really what's motivating everybody to be like, hey, man, you know, let me go take my $85 million contract over to Jay-Z.
You know, I think one of the things too with hearing Jay-Z's name is it's not associated with Puffy. And anytime you hear Puffy, you think I'm going to get taken advantage of. and that's never been the situation with Jay-Z.
Yeah, I don't think, or at least I wouldn't think that, you guys don't think that people think Jay-Z is running the day to day, right?
No, he's only seen the offices.
Yeah.
Like he has an office there, but he's only seen it. Like he doesn't actually do work there.
Yeah.
Like he's still writing rhymes with Bitch Don't Get My Vibe. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
like he was like, oh yeah, I got this little agency. Yeah, they handle your representation. They get everybody more money.
Yeah. But yeah, I just thought that was an interesting story. Lance, what'd you think about that, man?
Yeah, that's a whole nother situation when it comes to where I'm looking at it from. It's not a bad move. Like, I'm surprised that Jay-Z didn't take Skylar and, what's her name?
Brittany Griner.
Brittany Griner.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't take both of the number two and number one picks because it's just the way you have to bump your company when you just start your company.
She looked
like,
better.
I got that name and I could do this. He should have went after both of them.
Nah, she looked better.
It doesn't matter, though. I understand she looks better, but she dang sure don't play better.
Jay only roll with bad bitches. Let's keep it all the way.
Come on.
Jay only roll with bad chicks.
Are we doing that?
Welcome to Balls Deep, where Justin is the ignorant one, and that's how.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, yeah, he may only roll with bad
bees.
Yeah.
I got you, buddy. I know what you mean.
Expletive.
We know what you mean there, Lance.
But the thing is that if you can dominate a market, that's what Jay-Z is going to do. If there's nothing that I learned from Jay-Z's career, it's if I can dominate this, I'm going to dominate it. And he's going through a whole lot of situations with the MLB and the NFL and being an agent. The WNBA is the perfect place to start and say, I can be this person as far as business is concerned. to prove to these other people that's like, oh, well, you need somebody on your staff that has a college degree. Oh, well, you need somebody on your staff that's specialized in this. So, like, it's just that moment to where he could have been like, I'm going to shut the game down with this one right here, and then we'll go ahead and make the college dropout.
Yeah, and also it's kind of good for Jay-Z to get into this business, because owning that 1 or 2% of the Nets wasn't really doing anything for him anyway. Like, it wasn't like people were going like, oh, what a 2% owner of the Nets, that dude is the man. Like, it's kind of like, yeah, this is actually feels like more of a power move to people who are just regular everyday sports observers. It's like, oh wait, Jay-Z's company manages Kevin Durant? That's much bigger than I own 2% of the Brooklyn Nets.
I think him owning the Nets was more of a setup just to say, like, hey, I'm an owner, but not like Nelly or Usher. Like, I'm an owner that's doing this, so to set me up for this other aspect of the game that I really want to be a part of. And the only way to do that and for people to take me serious is to actually become an owner and see that, oh, I know something about the game or about sports in general. Even though, like we already said, he's not really even involved with necessarily what they're doing, other than maybe designing offices.
Yeah, right.
And t-shirts and jerseys.
And he might close deals. Like, he might have, like, if you got somebody on the bubble and that guy's like, well, you know, if y'all just arrange Jay to show up at my birthday party, like, I'm in. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure Jay, depending on who it is, like, man, I'm coming through.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just feel like for Jay, it's a bigger move. And, you know, if it starts catching on, what dudes are like, cause, you know, LeBron James been posing with Jay-Z in pictures for years at this point. If these dudes start being like, you know what, actually, let's go with Roc Nation, man. Let's just go over there. He could be a power, man. He could be a power. It's going to be interesting to see what he does and, how hands on, hands off he is with his stuff. Yeah. You know?
D Rose need to sign and get styling his brother run things.
Mm.
And if you don't think that Jay-Z showed up at Darren Williams' house on his birthday, you're crazy in your head. That's all I'm saying. I'm pretty sure on Darren Williams' birthday, The Rock was in the building.
Yeah.
He sent Bleak. He sent Bleak to that birthday party.
In other coaching news, in other NBA news, word on the street is Chris Bosh put his Miami home up for sale, but insists that he plans to retire with the Heat. I believe it was last week they floated a rumor out there that the Bobcats were on the verge of trading the number 4 pick for Chris Bosh. Just saying, man, maybe they're going to try to trade Bosh instead of Wade.
How about they need to trade both of them?
Both.
Oh, y'all want to see them get rid of both? I can get behind that.
I mean, if you have any hopes on keeping LeBron in Miami with the fact that, dude, I could go to Cleveland again, you need to get rid of both of them.
Mm.
That's just what it is.
Well, he insists that he plans to retire with the Heat, so I think that's a little ambitious anyway. Like, unless you're planning on taking a pay cut.
Unless you're going to retire, you know, sometime shortly.
Right. Because this is my last year, y'all. Good game.
That's a very vague statement. Like, you could retire today if you wanted to. No. Guess what? I'm out the game. Guess what, Ron? I just retired from this podcast.
That's true.
To keep holding your word, you could retire whenever you want. No. All I'm saying is, if that the Heat want to keep LeBron, they need to get rid of both of them boys and be like, hey, young, fast talent to come and play with you. No. Stay here.
That's true.
The chat room saying that they having another baby and they not really selling the house. They just making additions to the home. And that's why, but the rumor is that it's being for sale, but really they're just making additions.
Okay.
If that's true, my question then is, who is the father? I'm on some Kurt from Love and Hip Hop type stuff. Like, who the daddy? Because we know Bosh not actually having sex with his wife.
You think he on that Kurt from Love and Hip Hop?
Yep. Yep. You know, and that's quoting Leonard Brothers. That's an accurate source if you ask me.
Okay. Yeah, now see, I'm not of the mind that I don't think Chris Bosh is gay at all. Like, honestly, I just think he's a weirdo. which is funnier to me than somebody being gay, is someone just being a can't get right weirdo. Cause he does weird shit, man. And I feel like a gay person wouldn't even do some of the shit that he's doing that. People are like, oh, that's so gay. He sprayed that bottle in his face. I'm like, you do realize gay people been in NBA locker rooms, and that's gotta be the first time we ever seen somebody take a cum shot to the face with a fucking, with a bottle of champagne. Like, that's not a gay thing. That's a Chris Bosh thing. So I don't even do the, like, Chris Bosh is gay shit. I really just think the dude is weird, man.
He might be weird, but it's so much fun knowing that everyone else is joking him for being gay, and he doesn't necessarily want to be gay, but he doesn't do anything to fight it either. He just,
how do you fight it? What is he gonna do? Fuck a chick on half court? Like, there's no way to, if someone just started a Rod is gay rumor, there's nothing I can do to fight that. Like, cause there's nothing, you can't prove a fucking negative. You know what I mean? It's like, Rod is gay. It's like, I'll fuck my wife on webcam. They'd be like, yeah, man, but well, you not fucking your wife on webcam. You gay. It's like, what? You know, you just fucking on webcam so you can prove that you not gay. Like, you know, it's nothing you can do.
I picture Riley's voice from, you know, the cartoon with Riley. I picture Boondocks. His voice, Boondocks, in my head when you were saying you that. Gay.
That shit.
Yep.
Yeah. I was going to say my favorite Riley moment is, dear Santa, you are a bitch. Nigga. A bitch ass nigga.
Gonna pay what you owe, Santa.
Yeah, but what were you gonna say? My bad, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, Lance.
No, but when it comes to Chris Bosh and the whole he's gay situation, I don't think he's gay, but I have a whole lot of fun, like, at the Chris Bosh moment.
Yeah.
If you know,
I mean, that's, now keep in mind, I'm not some high minded like person that, like, I look, I'm about equality, and all that good stuff. I'm still gonna laugh at funny shit. If you didn't laugh when he put that champagne bottle in his grill, and there's no way you could not think about a dude being soaked in white sperm, then you're not fucking human. And I don't want to hang out with you. I laughed and then I went, oh, he's going, oh hell, this gay shit ain't never gonna stop.
That gif is going.
But it goes so
forever.
Much further. Like I don't know if you guys follow all of the Evening Jones things that I do, but I literally have places within the Evening Jones where I put clips of Chris Bosh. namely being, like, one of my favorite ones is in the All-Star game where Chris Paul's getting his MVP trophy, and Chris Bosh is sitting there looking at him with that look. It's just like, yeah.
He can't help himself, man.
Nigga, you gay.
Yeah.
It's one of those Chris Bosh moments to where it's like, I gotta do it. Like, I can't not do it.
He can't help himself, man. Like, and the thing is, I don't feel bad for him on a level of like, oh man, it's just like, I feel bad on some like, yo, he's not even aware of how to like not be that way. He's just being himself. So, but no, I don't think he's gay at all. I just think it's funny that people think he's gay, which I don't know, might be close enough for everybody else. But, all right. So yeah, Chris Bosh might be about to sell his house. Let's talk about the coaching carousel. Bobcats got a coach. You know, a lot of people nailing shit down, but there's still stuff up in the air. I think Doc Rivers, looked at KG and Paul Pierce this last offseason and was like, I don't know, because Danny Ainge said, Doc Rivers is definitely returning to coach Boston next season. Doc Rivers said, I believe it may be time for a change, which if you read between the lines, Doc Rivers might not want to come back, dog. So I don't know where exactly would go. Maybe, the Clippers is the only place, that I see still out there that, you know, might be a good job. Maybe the Nuggets job. Did the Nuggets get a coach yet?
I don't think so, but I mean, even out of the teams that didn't have Doc Rivers, I imagine they'll be like, you know what? You fired Doc. Come on aboard, man. We'll get you the big shell like Phil if you wanted it. We'll do whatever it takes.
Doc has to be the number one coaching get in the NBA if he becomes a free agent, right?
Yeah, I mean, other than the Spurs, but when you look at Utah, they got rid of Jerry Sloan, and he did an excellent job with those whack ass teams that he had.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I feel like
nobody's safe.
If you got a team and you need someone to coach your team, Doc Rivers is a guy I give a job to first before anybody else.
Definitely. Fire D'Antoni quickly.
Yeah. D'Antoni would be out of there. The Clippers need a coach. There's a lot of people, man. So he might be on the market. That's something that's big. Kenny Smith met with the Kings to talk about being a GM. So, what do y'all think about that?
It's too hard.
The crickets in the room.
Yeah, I was like, damn, nobody was feeling that one, huh?
No, I heard him talk about it, but like, I don't take that job. Mm-hmm. It's a year-round job. He currently shows up just for basketball season and mainly on Thursday nights on TNT with your homeboys. Who trades a job with their homeboys to go actually do some real work?
Anytime any one of those guys talks about leaving, I get sad. Cause I'm like, but I want y'all to be on TV on Thursday.
Right.
Like, I don't care about your lives other than that. Just do whatever you have to do to keep being on my TV.
And the elephant in the room is that Shaq sucks.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the TNT show, Shaq is horrible.
Birdman.
he has his little Shaqisms, as yeah. I call them. But other than that, he's not that great.
Which is why it's
so you
great.
Need Kenny and Chuck.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, I feel what you said. Yes,
save the
yes.
Show.
I absolutely understand. Yes, I agree.
Take Kenny yeah. out of that situation. We have a problem.
Okay, I thought you was about to say take Shaq over there, but I see what you said. No. If Shaq stays.
Yeah.
Kenny gotta stay. Cause.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Shaq is not, he is the odd man out of the funniness.
And he has his, you know, you got your little, you know, the Shaq and the Fool. That was, I love those things. Love them. But on the day to day, I really don't care what Shaq has to say. And Shaq really doesn't care what he has to say. Right. He just tries to put in a funny line here and there. Now, if you really try to get Shaq in here and Charles in here and they're going back and forth, which is just, you know, you guys already know the situation with the weightlifting contest and all yeah. these other things that they try to do to create buzz.
Right.
That's not going to last without Kenny there making some sense out of the entire situation.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%, man. I actually like Shaq being on the show, but it is only because
yeah.
Kenny and Chuck and Ernie are there and it kind of is like, he's in the room, and even when he makes a bad joke, they'll clown him like we would clown him if we
yeah.
were,
yep.
you know, tweeting it or something. So I'm okay with him being there only because of that. And of course I love the Birdman because it's such a force. Like it's not even, it's like Birdman shit is so awkward and not cool that it's cool now. I like it. But that Birdman is good.
The other thing is, man, even though those guys are professionals, they show up to work like I don't care about this job.
They really do, man.
Which makes it so much fun. And that's one of the reasons after each game on ABC, I haven't flipped the NBA TV channel because they didn't have Barkley for the first two games. And then the last game, they had Barkley with no Kenny. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to watch them like this.
Right. I need yeah. to see the crew.
It was incomplete. I felt
I don't even like it when someone fills in for Ernie and Ernie's supposed to be the straight man, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
And to be completely honest, like, really? You're going to go coach, you're going to go GM the Sacramento Queens?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, it's not even like, it's like somebody that's going to stay where they're at within the next 2 years.
Now, I'm going to still call them the Kings because I believe in gender equality. But I will say this much. Has anybody checked to see if Kenny Smith can actually be a GM? Cause like, it's easy to talk shit. I could be a sideline YMCA GM. Me and Justin have fixed several franchises on the sideline of the YMCA. But when it comes to doing GM shit, man, I don't know what the fuck a GM is supposed to do other than be like, can we get that player? Can we get this player? Like, it's easy when you're sitting up there going, theoretically, they should just trade DeMarcus Cousin and bring in MKG or something like that. It's like easy, cool, on a piece of paper, that's fine. In real life, when you're talking about contracts, logistics, guys not wanting to go places, you know, talking about draft picks, all these moving parts, egos, it's not as easy, man. So I don't know that Kenny Smith has been saying stuff on the air that's that fucking smart. I just think he's extremely hilarious and a good sport, but I don't know that I don't get off of TNT and go, that Kenny Smith, why isn't he a GM yet?
And he throw parties at the All-Star game.
And his wife is bad.
Yes.
Oh my God, his wife is bad.
She's sexy, dog.
Oh my God. Like he did what I'm surprised so many NBA players don't. Why don't you just wife a bad one early in the game instead of trying to be like these dudes that's like, I'm gonna get the hoe I could cheat on. And then you end up with some ugly ass middling chick for the rest of your life. Cause that's who you stuck with.
All housewives.
Yeah. Yeah. She let you hit them jump offs on the road. But when you go out in public, that's who we know you with. And we sitting up here like, really, Charles Barkley? That's what you, decided was a good look for the rest of your life? Like, Kenny's wife was so bad that Charles didn't believe it. Remember? Remember that when they was doing the dunk contest thing? Yep. And he was like, so who is this girl at the screen? He's like, oh yeah, that's my wife. And everybody's like, what? Your wife?
And he keep her on the low.
On the low.
That's the thing. But that goes to how smooth he is and how much better he makes the show. And I couldn't see leaving a job that you're comfortable with to go work. Right. When I currently get to hang out with my homeboys and have fun once a week.
And the stress that comes with that situation as well. Like, these people are trying to keep their team right now.
Right.
The stress alone that comes with that situation is just, why? Why would you want to go to a situation like that? It's not like you're saying, oh, I'm going to make you the GM of the Oklahoma City Thunders. We all know they ain't going nowhere. They ain't going back to Seattle.
Right.
Could you imagine Kenny showing up for work and being like, well, you know, Buck, I ain't saying you trade it, but you might want to go ahead and go fishing.
Right. You come in his office and he got that fishing pole out, that hat.
Yeah.
You're like, hold on, what you want to talk to me about? Have a seat over there, DeMarcus.
Oh, you almost had it.
Speaking of the coaching carousel, Lionel Hollins said, "Hollin' at your boy. The Clippers are trying to see if they can get him to be the coach, possibly." Now, this is before the Doc Rivers news dropped, so who knows if that's up in the air anymore. But I'm not a Clippers fan, although I don't root against them. Justin is a Clippers fan, but Lance is a Clippers fan. Man, what you think about the possibility of getting Lionel Hollins?
You see your Clipper Dan?
Clipper Daryl.
Daryl?
Clipper Daryl's, hey, that's the homie right there, by the way. One quick thing back to the last point. When it comes to Shaq and Charles, I always like the fact when Shaq does those championship zingers to Charles, it's always good to have Kenny there to be like, yeah, I got one too. So it's so much more funnier when it's just like, if it's nobody else on the panel that has a championship and Shaq throws out one of them zingers, it's like, yeah, Charles is going to look there, but hey, nobody else got one. But just to have Kenny there to be like, yeah, me too, buddy. Yeah. It's always great. when it comes to the Clipper coach, I would rather see Brian Shaw as the Clipper coach at this point than anybody else. And that's just a personal assessment. Mm-hmm. Because of the clientele that we have on our bench, the people that we have on our bench, I would want to see them run the triangle. Mm. And that's what he's going to do. That's what Brian Shaw is going to do. He's going to come in. He's going to bring the triangle. You got Blake. You got DeAndre. If we keep Chris, that's one thing. If we don't keep Chris, we still have Eric Bledsoe, which is, if you ask me, as good as the next. He's a starter on anybody else's team. And if we keep our shooters and our role players, don't think we're going to keep Chauncey. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I think we have enough clientele to be like, all right, well, we can field the shooters, run this triangle and start giving them hell. And all the flack that Blake has been getting on being soft, you can imagine how he's going to be next season. He might get thrown out a couple games.
He's going to be soft.
But when you call, okay, Justin, somebody call you soft right now. Justin, I'm calling you soft right now. Are you going to want to prove to me that you ain't soft?
No, I'm just keeping it all basketball plays.
Yeah. For the record, that is a 50-50 chance. Like, I've seen Justin prove to people that he not saw several times when he thought he had his manhood tested on that court.
No, I, you know, all jokes aside, I honestly don't know what I would do. Like Rod said, because I'm working on my temper and just keeping it all basketball plays and just mellowing out all the time. But I'm going on the when I look at Pau Gasol and how often he's been called soft and all sorts of names, but soft is the main thing for him. Mm-hmm. And especially when you have a younger brother that's whooping your ass, that makes you even softer. He's never manned up, and I don't think Blake is going to do it, and especially not with Brian Shaw. I agree he would be an excellent coach for you, but I don't think Brian Shaw is the man that could do it for him. Lionel Hollins seems like the type of man that would grab somebody by like Lionel Hollins seems like him and Z-Bo might have words after the game. Like, he seemed like that type of man. Yeah. And Brian Shaw, I don't think he'll toughen your team up. If anything, you'll try to run a triangle, and it's not going to work.
And I'm not looking for him to toughen the team up. Mm. What I'm saying is that when you give Blake a problem, which was his shooting, he's going to work hard as hell to correct the problem. And now you give him another problem. And I'm just talking about Blake's personal work ethic is, I ain't about that. I got commercials to shoot. I got things to sell. I can't be out here letting these dudes diss me. And his personal worth ethic is to where I'm going to try everything I can do to fix this. And maybe he's going to let off on the shooting end. Maybe he's going to let off on this end. But he's going to be, you ain't going to call me this. And then when you come up with something else, you ain't going to call me this. Mm. And that's just Blake. That's just Blake. I'm not looking at Blake as the team. I want to keep CP3 because he's the general. Mm-hmm. Blake is not the leader, if you ask me.
I agree with that. They tried it with Dallas to try to get rid of that. It just didn't work. And Dallas did everything they could. They even tried to fight Miami Heat. Like, it just didn't work. It's like, he might hit the weights harder. He might get stronger. He might play more physical, but he'll still always be that soft dude that's strong as hell. And you be like, why are you so soft? Like,
so you think it's a mental deficiency,
right? Like, it's not going to make him any not be soft. He's just going to be bigger and stronger, but he's still going to be soft, and you still going to have cats looking at him like small guards, like Chris Paul getting in his face, telling him to man up. Cause Chris Paul not soft. Like, it don't matter what size Chris Paul
and Chauncey.
He's not right, so it don't matter how many ways Blake hit, he's still gonna be soft.
So you think Blake Griffin is soft?
I can't. He plays soft. He plays basketball soft. Yes, I don't know him if he personally is a soft dude. He plays basketball soft.
Okay.
And you have to understand that Blake respects Chauncey and he respects Chris, and you have to understand that they're in his ear right now.
I respect Rod, but I've known Rod for a multitude of years. I consider Rod a friend, but I mean, if he challenged my manhood, I might be like, dude, like, we don't need to go there. You know what I mean? Like, we would have man words. And the same if I challenged his manhood. Rod not soft. Rod would be like, you know, I punch in your face, right?
I wouldn't say that to Justin. But here's the thing, though, I will say. I think Blake is a talent. I don't think it's coaching necessarily as far as the mental aspect of his game. I really think it's X's and O's, man. Like, you got to put people in position to execute. And we'll find, like, because he's been horribly coached, I can't even speculate on his mentality, really, because I feel like we'll find out once he's in a position to succeed. You know, like, it's the Dwight Howard thing where I was like, you know, with Stan Van Gundy, I can't tell if Dwight Howard is just some punk ass dude that needs to, like, mentally strengthen himself, or if his coach is just such an overbearing personality, he won't allow the dude to be a better player, you know, to push his limits. And then he went to LA and I was like, oh, okay, it's Dwight. You know what I mean? That's how I feel about Blake. Maybe under another coach, we'll see. Like, okay, is, you know, this coach is kind of letting Blake do his own thing, and we're finding out that Blake prefers that. He'd rather shoot a jumper. He'd rather not drive, or he, you know, when he goes to the hole, he's always talking about getting fouled or something like that. But if it actually, you know, if he got unleashed and was able to do shit, I'd be impressed. The other problem I have with the Clippers is the team makeup is not one where I think Blake will ever get to shine, and work on things that he might want to, like putting the ball on the ground, doing one-on-one post-up moves a lot. I don't think he's ever really going to get that chance, because Chris Paul dominates the basketball. As much as I like Chris Paul, a lot of his game is like dribble, 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 dribble. When I pass it, you shoot it or give it back, you know. So I would like to see I think if you want to see him, Blake Griffin, progress, you have to give him the ball in situations where it's like, we're depending on you to make the right play. You're getting double teamed. Where's the right pass out of that double team? Okay, you're facing up towards the basket. Can you put the ball on the ground to get around the guy? Can you hit the spot up Jay? And good coaches put players in those situations slowly but surely, and you go, okay, Blake's improving. I don't think Del Negro was that guy. It looked like a lot of pick and roll, Chris Paul looking for the alley-oop, or Chris Paul shoots in the lane. So,
I agree.
And if he wasn't as soft as he was, he'll demand, like, hey, I'm about to post up.
Well, it's still the Clippers is one of the problems. Another thing people don't take into account is age. So organization and age are two things I look at. Organization, what is the history of the Clippers that would empower Blake Griffin to feel like, I can change this culture and I can be the first, give me the ball superstar of the Clippers? I don't feel like, you know, because you have to get it from somewhere. Normally, when you see people that become great, like, it comes from some, like, with Jordan coming out of college, he got it at UNC, playing with great players and, you know, and of course his own ego and shit. With Kobe playing with the Lakers, you know, he's playing with Shaq and he's playing with other guys where it's like, you know, Phil Jackson's putting him in position to succeed. So you actually have like a lot of, okay, this is how leadership is given. I don't think Blake came into a situation where he had a clear cut leader to show him how to lead, you know? So that's the one thing. And then, I forgot. It was organization and whatever the other thing was. Just that shit too. Y'all know what I mean.
The organization, the leadership. I got it.
Yeah. He needed a leader, you know,
okay, to do so it. So you have to understand, with me being a Clipper fan since I was born, I do not disagree with you at all. The worst owner in the world is our owner. He's the worst owner in the world. The only thing I can say is that over these last 3 years, there's been major differences in the way this organization has been ran. Mm-hmm. Major differences. And although there are huge things at first, the fact that they're continuing to happen, still got a little bit of faith. I've been shaking a little bit in this last year, but Donald Sterling is a real estate mogul, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if everybody knows that. This dude is a real estate mogul in an economy in which real estate is dropping. And I own this team, and now I'm selling jerseys out of my mind because he has the number 3. He has the number 32. Like, they may be even selling some DeAndre Jordan jerseys. Who knows? Now he's like, okay, well, this can actually be a beneficial situation for me now that I done bought this team for a little bit of nothing and brought him to LA.
Right.
So I think he's starting to gear towards more of, this thing can make me money, which is all that he ever cared about.
Right.
And now that it can make him money, you're going to see a different manager than you've seen in the past 20 years.
I agree. Yeah, he's actually trying to, the fact that he's even trying to retain Chris Paul. Yeah. Tells you a lot about what's the changes that are happening to the Clippers, because there's been years where they were like, yeah, how much? Okay, man, well, you have a good one, bro. I hope you enjoy it out there. Where are you going? Milwaukee. I hope you enjoy Milwaukee. You know, and the dude is sitting there like, hey, man, I don't really want to go. I mean, if you cut me, we could do work something out. Nah, man, you know, that's a lot. You know, yeah. Oh, I forgot the second thing I was going to say was age. And people underestimate this a lot. When you're young, it's hard to lead. And this happens a lot in the NBA where people are like, why isn't so-and-so a leader? It's hard to be a leader when you're 24 and the other people on your team are 30. You know, in pretty much any situation. And most time, people's egos at that age aren't going to let you lead them. So if Blake Griffin fusses at Chris Paul, it's a completely different dynamic in the locker room and in the huddle when Chris Paul saying, Blake, you got to man up. It's more like a mentorship, like, okay, I got a man up. Okay, cool. Let me go do better, even though I'm a better player than you right now, you know? Whereas opposed to, you know, like Chauncey Billups could get away with that. But if, like, Blake straightened up Chauncey Billups in front of the guys, it's a whole different, like, that the whole fucking locker room got to revolt, man. That's why people ain't like Kobe, because Kobe was like, look, nigga, you fat and your ass is old and what the fuck is wrong with your knee? And people was like, fuck you, man. He a bitch. This is why I don't like this nigga, man. He always come in here telling people. Dude's like, there's a tact to leadership, and there's like a kind of a progress to it. And I think Blake just got to go through the progress, the process before we call him. Well, no, you can call him soft now, but before we know that he's soft, we gonna know in the next 3 years. We'll know for sure. It won't even be a debate if he's really soft.
It's hard, and especially as a professional athlete too, because normally with guys you play basketball with, a lot of them you actually hang out with. You bond, right. You do things with. These guys, this is at work. So they might have one coworker that they hang out with outside of the job, but them niggas at work, they don't show up and talk. They show up and treat their coworkers the same way you treat your coworkers.
Right.
And it's like, fuck you. You're trying to get ahead. You're trying to take my position, and it's not okay.
Yeah.
I'm not helping you get a promotion.
Yeah.
I'm not helping you get clout. I'm not helping you get interviews or anything else. Like, it's about me right now, and get it how you live.
Yeah, well, we got to move on. But all that said, under a new coach, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Clippers in the finals next year. Like, just they have the talent. They really do. There's no excuse, especially if you get a better coach. Just a quick break, man. We started, I think, the very first Balls Deep with a story about a NASCAR driver dying. Dick Trickle took his own life. Well, Jason Leffler, he died in an accident earlier this week. He's 37 years old. He was a two-time winner of the NASCAR Nationwide Series. His nickname was Left Turn. Mm-hmm. Jason Left Turn.
Real creative.
Real creative. and he was pronounced dead after getting into a dirt car, accident in a dirt car event. So, rest in peace. Jason Leffler, hope you get, you know, hopefully you're up there racing in heaven, bro.
I'm gonna make a random left turn just for him.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a left turn today, man. Everybody make a left turn today, for Left Turn. All right. I thought this was just funny more than anything else. Josh Gordon, Cleveland Browns, you know, he got in trouble for some PEDs in this little offseason thing here. He got suspended for 2 games. But he lost 4 game checks. I don't understand this world. How the fuck you gonna make me play for free? Now I can get suspended. Suspend me, bro. Hey, I'm 4 game checks. Suspend me 4 games. I'm not even complaining about the penalty. But playing for free for two NFL games as a wide receiver for the fucking Browns? You gotta be out your goddamn mind, dude. I thought that was the craziest shit I ever seen, man. Like it was a codeine that he got hit with, man. I guess he must have still been on it when he signed this fucking agreement to just, you suspended 2 games, but you could play, but you fine 4 game checks. Say that again, bro. Yeah. We're going to pay you for the play for 12 games, but you're going to play 14. Yeah. See, that's what I thought. I think y'all got 2 extra games on that for some reason. I don't know why.
That's a logistics thing. You just really wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
There.
See, I don't play for free. This ain't college. I did that already for 3 years.
Right. I hear what you're saying, but it's logistics, and you know, you got caught with this codeine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, logistically speaking, the logistics of my bank account say if I get zero deposited, that, you know what, man, I would play.
Right.
But then would be the shortest routes you've ever seen a wide receiver run in the NFL.
Right. Not even stepping on the field.
Right. Josh, we're gonna run Texas 45 right. You ready, man? Wait, hold on 1 second before we go out. Is that the one where I go over the middle? Yeah, dog, that's not gonna happen. So just don't look for me.
That would be the longest shoe tie you ever see me do.
Dude. I'm dropping.
He's still down there tying his shoes.
Lance gonna wave he gonna raise his hand and hold on. Give me a minute. Hold on. Call the timeout, coach. I'm just timeout.
Delay a game. Like, dude, I don't know how the fuck this happened, dude. Delay a game. 13.
Yo, let's go take his whole shoe off to untie.
Dude, I'm going to be fixing my socks for 2 hours.
Yeah.
He's going to have a helmet malfunction.
You're just not getting in the knot.
I'm slapping the ball. If you throw the ball to me, I'm slapping that shit down. I will be out there straight up embarrassing myself because fuck you for free. It's the NFL. Like, it's not like this, like, I can see you making an argument for playing two NBA games for free. I wouldn't, but I could see you making an argument because the odds of getting hurt are much lower. In the NFL, man, you might break your fucking fibula and be done for the year on some free shit. Fuck y'all.
Does he even have to practice? Can you practice during those suspensions, or are you suspended from practice too?
I think, it depends on your type of suspension though, but I think he can practice.
Fuck that. I'm not even showing up for practice.
Dude, I don't understand. It's all because of that peer pressure gladiator mentality. Cause I bet you if we sat him down and said, hey man, it's fucked up that you gotta play two games for free, he'd be like, no, I'm just happy I'm getting to play two games, man. Like, I was worried I was gonna have to sit the whole 4 hours. You're like, well, you know you're not getting paid. Yeah, but I wanna be there for my teammates, you know, and everybody. Fuck that.
I would be there in a suit.
Yes, son.
I'm here for you.
Dude,
home games only though.
The worst part is I would dress up in my NFL uniform and then right before we take the field, put my suit on.
Yeah.
Like, Josh, you go ahead and get in the game. I can't, not in my church shoes, coach.
Dude, jersey jeans and no pants.
Exactly. Oh, you gotta be crazy.
I still got my jersey on though, coach. I'm supporting.
Yep, holding the towel. Yeah. Holding the towel.
I talk to the other receivers about what they can do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't show up for practice though. Like, I'd be like, oh, y'all running plays for me this week? You must have forgot I was suspended, right, coach?
Right.
Like, I need to show up for what again? Game film on the team I'm not playing against.
I'll show up with a doctor's note, nigga. Hey, man, doctor said I can't play, man.
You know the same doctor I got these PEDs from.
You know. Got to be out your goddamn mind.
We're in Miami out here.
Man, I saw that.
Volunteer work?
Dude, I saw that story, and like I did the Steve Harvey eyes, because I was like, what? Like, I couldn't believe it. I didn't even know this was a thing that could happen. I was emailing people. I direct messaged Bo like 3 times, like, hey man, did you read this? Is this a thing that you can do? Cause I mean, I know you know more about sports than me, but you can't make people play for free, can you? He's like, yeah, it happens sometimes. Why? Why would it ever, what kind of players union lets that shit happen, dude?
Did they not see Ricky Williams?
Right. I wouldn't even come to my regular job for free. You know, when I had a real job, they would have been like, hey man, two of these days, because of that shit you did last week, free. Fuck y'all, just fire me. Cause this ain't gonna work for free.
Like, oh, well, two of those days I won't be here.
Right. Can you make them 2 vacation days? Can I get vacation days in the NFL?
Like, niggas a call out of work unpaid.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm out of sick days, but I'm not showing up.
My vacation days, though. Exactly. Like, you want me to show up for work and use my vacation days? No, how about we just ain't gonna do this?
Dude, oh my God.
I'm gonna need for y'all to talk to my agent. Yeah. This ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
Trade me the fuck up out of here now.
My man Drew Brees, ended up getting caught up. His former teammate Kevin Hauser. Apparently, Drew Brees filed a lawsuit in federal court against him, stemming from an investigation Brees made, an investment Brees made, which turned out to be fake. The suit filed on behalf of Brees is one of several against Hauser by current and former members of the New Orleans Saints. According to a report from Sports Illustrated, Hauser advised Brees to invest almost $160,000 in tax credits, which turned out to be non-existent. Several Saints players, as well as other members of the organization, also invested after being advised by Hauser, with a total investment of roughly $2 million.
Yo.
He got everybody, dog.
Yo, do you handle this the same way 2 Chainz handled this? Or do you handle this the way Drew Brees is handling it?
How do 2 Chainz handle it?
Oh, well, you know, he recently got robbed himself. His was by gunpoint, though.
Okay.
And he just gave over his wallet. Mm-hmm. Well, he ran first, and then he fell down. And, you know, his pants probably was sagging. Them chains was holding him down. But he had to give up his wallet and things like that. Then he tried to, he didn't necessarily want to cooperate with the police and didn't want to share information.
Well, Brees got
to handle it on my own.
Brees got to keep his wallet. He just lost his dignity. That's all. And if I was him, I'd definitely take it to court because, you know, he's a white man in America, so things will probably work out in his favor.
Yeah, we see how it turned out for OJ.
Apparently, his lawyer has said he attempted to negotiate a settlement out of court, but was forced to file a lawsuit when the dispute couldn't be resolved. So he basically was like, give me my money back. And dude was like, man, I ain't got that money no more, bro. I smoked the TV, mama.
You know how many groupies I got?
You ain't got that money.
You see these holes in New Orleans?
You know how much $2 million worth of cocaine and pussy goes in these streets?
Have you not heard these Geechee women down here talk?
It was like Rick James and that Rick James sketch.
I love this slang.
That was years ago. Whatever.
Why are you bringing up old stuff, Drew? I thought we were better than this.
So, yeah, man, apparently, the lawsuit came on the same day that former Saints tight end Jeremy Shockey and a former Saints defensive coach Gary Gibbs reached settlements with Hauser. So they got some of their money back. The New Orleans heck, you know what that is though? Jerry, I bet you if we look up Gary Gibbs, that's a big ass nigga. And Jeremy Shockey is a big ass nigga. And Drew Brees ain't. That's probably all that was. He was like, you gonna settle and give me my money back. He's like, yes sir, Mr. Shockey. And give me some of Drew Brees money too. Okay.
and we know Drew has a reputation of being soft.
Yeah, that's true.
What that S word again?
You brought it up, Lance.
He hadn't paid Charles Grant either though. So I don't know. Maybe it's something else to it, but that's just hilarious. Speaking of hilarious, defensive end making comments. Did y'all hear this shit where Greg Hardy said he gonna get 50 sacks this year?
That's impossible.
50 sacks.
Was he testing for PEDs?
Right. He has 18 over 3 years. 50? I was like, oh man, check his urine right now. Just making that boast is like a put you as number one on the PED list, dude. You must be on some hope juice to think you about to get 50 fucking sacks in a year, decimating all records in the process. Oh my God. I just thought that was funny. Plus he's playing for the Panthers. I guess he'll have an opportunity if they suck this year.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you're going to get 50 sacks because you're going to be on defense most of the year. Like, how about we're just going to not play offense this year. We're going to let him get his 50 sacks. That's pretty much what it's looking like.
I mean, well, is he saying something deeper than that about Cam? And
all right,
what's
like,
the offense looking like?
He's like, the offense was like, shit, I'll probably get 50 sacks.
Like a bonus.
Yeah, 50 sacks is such a tremendously ridiculous number that I kind of like his balls for saying it, but then it's also like, man, you should have said like one more than the record or some shit, dude.
The other thing is though, what is his bonus really looking like though? Like if he was to get more than like 25 sacks a season, like how much would he get off of that on his contract? He probably get like an extra few mil.
Yeah,
because they know it's impossible.
Yeah, can't. Yeah, they. I think, what does your contract look like the year after you get 50 sacks?
I'm holding out.
Like, is it even possible to consider coming back for whatever amount they say?
No,
it's no amount, dude. Like, you might can't play. Cause whatever you're worth is worth more than anything they can pay you, dude. It
really depends on how you get the 50 sacks.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, we saw Julius Peppers hold out.
Like if they're 50 legitimate sacks and it's like, wow, you guys had a great season and you got 50 sacks and it was like, yeah, but your season sucked and you were on defense like 90% of the time. It's like, okay, well, shoot, if I had my defense on the field as much as you were on the field, yeah, I'd have players with 50 sacks too.
Yeah, but you saw Julius Peppers hold out and right after he got that money, he sucked ass.
Yeah, that's terrible.
This is true.
I don't know, man. I'm just trying to imagine a 50 sack season. That's some shit you can't even do on Madden. 50 sacks?
Not even create a player.
Right.
Well, it's always good to have high goals, though.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm glad you got confidence.
You know,
nobody can ever say to that man, you lack confidence because 50 sacks, that's as confident as you can fucking get.
Is he even starting?
Right, I don't even know.
Like, who was he? We've never heard of this guy before. We live here in Charlotte.
Well, no, I know. You know how I know him? I just realized I've defended him at the YMCA before. Yeah, I was. And you know what? I did a good job. He was mad too, dog. He was mad as shit. He's a big ass quick nigga, but he was like he was frustrated during that game because he tried to do that shit where he was doing everybody else. So he just bump into him and spin and lay it up. And I was just meeting him at the right before he could put his foot down and get leverage. I was just meeting him right there.
Did he come to the gym with Mike Mitchell?
No, he came with, you know, Adam and that crew.
Oh, he came
yeah,
with
that's
crew.
The Greg they always talking about taking him out to eat and shit like okay. that. Yeah, so he came with them.
Football players need a new job where they don't have to wear helmets to cover up their face.
Yeah. You might have been, I don't know if you were there or not, but yeah, I defended that dude. I did a good job too, man. We only lost by one, but he went from averaging like 8 points to averaging like 2 against me. And then when I was done, he was like, hey man, you got some good D, big man. I was like, appreciate it, bro. But, yeah, that was Greg Hardy, dude. I was like, I didn't have no idea.
Yeah, Lance at the Y, man. There's a few guys that come. Apparently, these people around here have money. At the YMCA, we play basketball there, and they always come with a few like athletes that actually play professional sports. And like they come with the Monstars, and they really come to dominate all the time. So even though he's a football player, you be like, damn, he really is hitting 8 points a game.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. Plus, they was on his dick because like he is the dude that pays for everything. So Adam wasn't shooting, and you know Adam shoot every time. But it was like, you paying for dinner, Greg. Take another shot.
Yeah, but Adam doesn't believe in a bad shot. Half right. foot, good shot to me.
That shit made the workout so much better, though, because that dude got the ball every time, and I was definitely having to play some good defense.
Gotta work.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of having to work, Terrell Owens wants y'all to know that he can still play football.
He loves his quarterback. He loves his quarterback.
Mm-hmm. So, in case any of y'all were confused out there, he can still play football. So
Ocho Cinco can too, but
is he out? What happened with that situation?
Ocho Cinco? He's still in jail. Yes. He got 30
yeah,
days, right?
Saying. Is he out?
Like, no, he still got 30 days.
Yeah, might patting his lawyer on the ass.
Might yeah.
Who tweeted that before he went in? He went in. It was like, see y'all in 30. Like who tweeted that? Because he got he got his handcuff right then and there. So he didn't tweet it. Like, after he slapped the dude on the butt, you know what I'm saying? He didn't tweet it while the judge was like, go ahead and lock him up for 30 days.
Yeah, right.
Like, they put him in handcuffs and took it to the back. So when did he have time to tweet it? Because normally at that point, they empty your contents and put them in a bag.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know, man. But, yeah, so basically, T.O. was
Shirley's actually correct on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, that's true. Because he did have people tweet for him during the game, so maybe he did it during the trial.
Who do I trust enough other than my wife to be like, here you go?
Here's the real question that both of us should be asking. Why is it that important to you?
Because I just want to know.
No, not you. Oh. Chad Johnson. Why the fuck is this shit that important to you, man? Like,
because I kind of have a little bit of experience in this situation because I have access to Bomani's Twitter. Mm-hmm. It's just that dude that's like, man, Chad just got locked up. I could put out a tweet right now. Dude might not have a job when he gets out. That's all I'm saying.
Like, oh, my God. Well, Lance, don't ever destroy Bo, man. We have to come find him.
Oh, come on now.
Can you imagine that, though, if all of a sudden Bo's account started tweeting crazy shit?
He already had access to it.
Right.
Lance was doing the Hater Galga.
Yeah, that's what we're going to find
roasting,
out.
Just roasting cats.
Bo calling him up like, man, you got to chill, man. These things getting pretty insulting. But nah, that's pretty funny, though. But yeah, T.O. said, hey, y'all, I'm alive. But here's what he forgot, man. This is why, and I've told so many black people this shit over the years, especially when it was the T.O. versus McNabb, because McNabb is a sellout and T.O. is the real black man keeping it real. You can't be a dick to everybody for your whole life and then think that people are going to take care of you when you can't do shit for them. Like, teams couldn't wait for the second for T.O. to lose a step. So they could just be like, nah, fuck you. That's really what he's come down to. Because you telling me no NFL team could take T.O. being on the team as a third receiver, second receiver even? There's a lot of teams that could use the help. But they don't want to deal with T.O.'s help.
Yep, they even gave Randy Moss a chance in San Fran.
Right. Like, with certain skill sets, you will never really be out of the ability to play in the NFL. It might not be at a high level anymore, but you can still be a decoy. You can do a lot of shit, But with T.O., it's like, I'm not dealing with your shit.
Yeah, they don't even want to put him on staff.
Right. You're a bad chick that don't cook and clean. quick thing. I don't know why this came up and why this is a thing, but Justin's a Redskins fan. Maybe he knows. What's the deal with the Redskins nickname? And why did they even call it the nickname? It's the actual name of the team. But what's the deal with this making news again about possibly people wanting them to change the name and shit?
You know, it's been protests for numerous years about them trying to get Congress to force the NFL to make them change their name. Since they won't do it willingly, they want the government to force them to change the name because it's deemed, you know, insulting and racist.
It is, but there's a certain, like, it's been that way so long, why now? It's like, you know what I mean? Like, what made June 10th, 2013 the day is like, hey, that is, I think that's racist.
It's not, you know, that's how slow the governmental process is. I mean, you know, that's the reality of it is they have to fight on the local level first and then, you know, work their way up. And, you know, with the NFL lawyer money, you're going to be fighting at this for a while.
Yeah.
Cause even the commissioner even sent a letter to Congress was like, look, this name has no malintent. We even have actual Native Americans that support the team. Like, get off our dick. Like,
the thing that's funny is, like we talked about earlier with Chris Bosh and the gay thing, you can't prove a negative. So, like, prove to me you're not racist. The name ain't racist because we not racist. Right, but how? Native Americans even wear the jerseys. Mm-hmm. you know, it's like no way to prove it. So, I mean, I guess if I was the NFL, I just wouldn't say shit. Like, Dan Gilbert is actually rich enough to not have to do anything. So I just wouldn't say shit. If I was Commissioner Goodell, I wouldn't address it. Because honestly, it doesn't help and you kind of only sound kind of racist.
Yep.
You know, it's like saying I have black friends when you get accused of being racist against black people. Like, that doesn't help your situation at the moment. Why'd you bring that up?
And the owner of the Redskins also just recently within the last month was like, look, I'm never changing the name. Like, my fans love the name. I'm never changing it. I was once a fan. Fuck y'all. And the owner of the Redskins is one that he's a fan first and then an owner. Yeah. So he doesn't mind spending money to do anything for the team.
Yeah. People have made their peace with it at this point.
And if you look across the street, it's like, okay, well, they went from the Bullets to the Wizards. How did that work out?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Never know. You go to the Redskins or something more politically correct, the Washington Rainbows or something. Next thing you know, the team sucks. It's like, oh, now the team can't win a game.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, mm-hmm. not only can you suck, but you'll be like, oh, so y'all back to what y'all used to do, not winning. And mm-hmm. then the Cowboys will be on top.
Plus, I don't know, man. My thing with the Redskins is if I was the owner, like if I bought the team from him tomorrow, I'd change the fucking name. Immediately. Like, without even thinking, like, it'd be the first thing I did to put my mark on the team. Like, this shit racist, new name. But I don't give a fuck. And if you're not a Redskins fan, it's just a good reason to keep hating them. Like, why do y'all want to take away a reason to hate them? I don't want to be hating the Washington something else. Yep. I want to hate the Washington Redskins. That's who don't like my Eagles. Like, I don't get the point. Like, I don't, what are you going to not like the team extra more? Like, and then half the people that want the people to change it are like these politically correct political douchebags that have shit to do with sports, man. They don't know anything about sports except, isn't that name kind of racist? Man, fuck you. You're not going to watch none of the games. Get the fuck out of here. Let us that watch the games deal with this. I like going over to Justin and being like, you're still rooting for that racist ass team. And he have to be like, my team ain't racist. And I'll be like, yeah, y'all call the Redskins. I like that every Sunday.
Yep. And you know, the thing is, that's what hurt the Negro League.
Mm-hmm.
Having whack ass names for teams.
Yeah, exactly. They were much better when it was the Brooklyn Niggers, and that was what they punked out. They punked out, man.
Yeah, you can't punk out.
Fuck is a Dodger. I don't know what a Dodger is, but I know a nigga when I see one.
I dodges them.
All right, man. We got one more story, and of course, we can't end the show without doing this story, so let me get my music.
La 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 la
la la la la la la la la. Hey, Mamba. So, this week in Mamba, we talked about this story. This may have been the first week in Mamba that we actually covered.
You gotta send that picture to the chat room. This is the first outfit Kobe had on it.
And like anything,
you look like a G.
Like anything involving the Black Mamba, he refuses to lose, even to his mama. Why? Kobe Bryant got a written apology from his parents. Nigga.
Right at the Mama's Day.
At the Mama's Day and right before Father's Day.
Oh, that was his Children's Day gift last Sunday.
Mm-hmm. He said, what about me, Mama? As everybody remembers, man, his parents, well, his mom specifically, was going to sell, well, actually signed up to sell Kobe's memorabilia. She got a $450,000 advance to sell some of his like high school and like childhood trophies and shit. This is like the coldest thing. Like when a woman's fed up, you know, like they know where to hit you.
It's a thin line.
Right. This is like some like, this is like that shit where you arguing with your woman like over some little shit like, are you going to vacuum the house or not? I mean, you've been home all day. And then she jumps into like, and your mama told me she didn't even mean to have you. Like, the fuck did we get here?
That's why little Leroy might not be yours.
Yeah, the baby ain't yours. Like, what? I just wanted to know if you were going to cook. That's how that felt when Kobe was just like, why are you selling my stuff? And my man Wall Street came on the show and gave us like the behind the scenes. Apparently, Kobe paid for his in-laws to get a house. And his mother got very upset with this, went out, promised to sell his memorabilia, got a $450,000 advance so she could use it as a down payment on a house of her own, which is some petty shit. Honestly, especially considering that's your mom, you know what I mean? Like, that's your son. Like, did he not make y'all enough money over the years?
He probably threatened to leak her news. Like, that's the only thing I could think of.
Like, how did he get? Yeah, I don't know how he did. So we both chalked it up to, well, buy Kobe stuff. You know, that was nice knowing you, but she signed a contract. You ain't getting your shit back in jail. Your parents are just going to be like, you know, it's too late. Well, we were wrong. Kobe Bryant's parents issued a written apology to their son with the following statement. We regret our actions and statements related to the Kobe Bryant auction memorabilia. They referred to their son by his full name, dog. You understand that? Not our sons, the Kobe Bryant. the Kobe Bryant. We apologize for any misunderstanding and unintended pain we may have caused our son and appreciate the financial support that he has provided us over the years. That last sentence is my favorite. That. And appreciate the financial, because he was like, what about all the money I gave you niggas? Y'all just gonna forget about that? Whose house is this anyway?
Yo, Leonard Brothers say Kobe wrote that and made them sign it.
Yeah, that was a tweet. And then, like, you know, it was a Kobe statement, because then after that said, like, hashtag champion living, hashtag still getting it, hashtag. You know, he got that weird hashtag system. If y'all follow Kobe on Twitter, man, he good. Y'all need to follow Kobe on Twitter, man. His hashtag system makes no fucking sense.
And
it's so
Instagram
good.
Too, man. You got to get your Instagram.
Is he on Instagram?
Yes.
All right. Well, then I get Instagram.
That's why I got that picture from him I sent to you about the the hyperbaric chamber.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Kobe's so good. These niggas was like, hey, man, you know, you got to recover and stuff. You can start, you know, some light jogging and stuff, but you got to heal. And he was like, I need a hyperbaric chamber then. And they was like, that's a good idea, Kobe. A lot of athletes sleep in those and they use that to heal. He was like, cool. How big can you make it? And they was like, well, you know, make it, you know, big enough for you to fit in. And, you know, you'll have plenty of room. No. I mean, can you make one big enough, like, to fit a treadmill in? This nigga works out in a hyperbaric chamber. I don't think y'all understand me. Nobody does this. Except Kobe being Bryant, dude. You know that type of fucking maniacal, like, obsession you have to have with being the best to be like, I need a hyperbaric chamber. big enough to put a fucking treadmill in, cause that I'm gonna heal and run at the same time. I love this dude, man. He's the greatest, and man.
And that was probably a direct message in that statement. Like, he direct messaged that to his dad and said, this is what you put up.
Say this.
Yeah. And like, we'll call it a wash after that.
Yeah, you could take out the hashtags, Dad. I know you don't like that, but.
Yeah. Just go ahead and say this. Yep. Yeah. We'll be good.
But all y'all need to follow Kobe, man.
I guarantee you, he probably, the other house that his mom currently lives in that he bought already, he probably was like, look, you know this house is in my name, right? And yeah. You tell me you want a bigger house. You about to end up with no houses.
Look, dog, I'm gonna read a couple of his tweets, right? I didn't even know they gave social media awards. Feels good to win something this year, though. Hashtag antisocial win social. Hashtag hashtag Mamba Army. Hashtag say what you feel. This nigga's the greatest, dude.
Yeah, they should have never gave you niggas Twitter.
Nobody uses Twitter this way, dude. It's just hell.
Yeah, the abuse of the hashtag. Like, you gotta love it, but at the same time,
it's so corny and bad that it's good. It's good. He got a tweet that just says, hashtag walking, hashtag crutches off. Why are you hashtagging that? Oh, man, that's my nigga, dude. He can do no wrong, man. I'm sorry. I forgive the snitching and everything after that.
He serves two purposes.
Yeah. When he tweets. How about this one? He was responding to somebody named Sarah Rob O or something. She said, Kobe Bryant, per our chat, I think you and Simon Sinek should meet one of these days and put a YouTube video. Say, you'll enjoy this one. Cheers. He responded to her, thank you. I'm all over it. Hashtag learn, hashtag learn, hashtag learn. Three hashtags are the same thing. He the best. Yo, man, he the best. He better than Braun. He got five rings. He got five rings right now. Oh, shit. Anyway.
The horrible thing is that he hashtag crutches off, and now there's like a Twitter thread that says, you can search hashtag crutches off and there's people talking about it. that's the thing. Like, when you have a hashtag that you put into your tweet and it's its own timeline now, to where there's pages and pages of people talking about hashtag crutches off. So, you know, you got something going here.
Oh, how he's so good, man.
Yeah, he had a contest out the other day to win some special edition Kobe Bryant shoes.
Yeah, he said, I'm extending it to the 15th hashtag be creative. Oh, what an asshole. I love that dude.
Yep.
Anyway, man, Golden.
But you didn't explain the rules behind it. The contest was to come up with a way to call his recovery so he could put it in a hashtag.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I don't work in social media. I can just imagine, like, the Twitter geeks that he has working with him on this that follow these hashtags. Like, that would be a headache for him.
Oh, yeah. All these hashtags. He's just like, yeah, man, this one got 475 retweets. This one got 1,000.
Can you imagine the dude that's on like Hootsuite with all of these pains and fans that are following these stupid things that this man is with? Like, can you imagine that dude?
It's
that
funny though.
For his job.
I bet Kobe don't even keep track of his hashtags. Like,
yeah, some dude.
Yeah,
like
it's just
me.
Some other dude who like, hey man, some dude
like me, he's sitting in a room like, gosh, stop doing this to me, Kobe.
Lance, how's Crutches Off doing this week? Crutches Off is trending, man. He got trending on Thursday. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
No, it's not still trending.
Yeah, it fell off. Well, come on, we gotta get on that. Golden auctions.
Put something else out.
Yeah, it's time to put some more hashtags out there. I gotta get these tags out, man.
Yeah.
So let's
put something else out.
Kobe be popping tags. Golden Auctions has claimed the items were owned by Bryant's mother, Pamela, who was selling them on consignment. When Kobe learned of the deal, he sued the auction company. Golden then filed his own lawsuit claiming Pamela Brown was Bryant was the owner of the items and had received an advance of $450,000 to pay for a new home for Bryant's father, Joe, and herself in Las Vegas. The agreement allows the sale of 6 items, according to ESPN, which Golden president Ken Golden can sell for more than $500,000 combined. When I look at the whole collection, the items I gravitated toward were the 6 rings and the game-worn high school jerseys, uniforms, Golden told the Courier-Post. I have 3 rings and 2 game-worn high school uniforms. How could I be anything but happy? Wow, that's crazy, man. And I wonder, and this is all his high school memorabilia, right?
Yep.
This is just,
and man. Early NBA. Early NBA.
Oh, and early NBA.
And you know, that's shit you can't find anywhere.
I wonder if those three rings are the ones he won with Shaq. And probably. Then he just, so he don't give a fuck. He's like, take them three. Dude, I ain't get finals MVP for those anyway.
Eight jerseys. Sitting there with number eight jerseys.
Right. And then, yeah, he had eight jerseys. I didn't like that number anyway.
Yeah.
Man, his mama fucked him up. But anyway, he got her back and she had to apologize, be mad about it. Happy Mother's
writing.
Day. Happy Mother's Day.
Getting that laminated.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been another episode of Balls Deep. Thank you everybody that came out to listen live in the Blackout Test Premium Land. All the people that, you know, will listen to it on the website or through the RSS feed. We appreciate you guys supporting us, man. It's cause of y'all we can do shit like this. You know, y'all keeping us house husbands out here, getting this paper, man. Make sure you follow, Lance. He's has his own show on Spreecast for right now. The Recon is what it's called. On Twitter, it's the Recon _ NAO. Hey, Lance, what does the NAO mean?
If you notice the big N on my logo down there, it's actually our company. That's me and okay. Chris. It's called Now Media and Consulting. It's NAO for Never Accept Ordinary. So
okay.
It's a part of the Now family, which is why I put the Now in there.
All right, that's dope, man. I appreciate that, man. And make sure you follow him on Twitter too. What's your Twitter again?
Now LMG. NAOLMG.
There you go, man. We appreciate you doing this, bro. It was fun. We definitely gotta have you back for another one of these.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Well, look, until next week, guys, we'll talk some more sports. This is Rod and Justin and Lance signing off. Peace.
Peace.